Our American Security is brought to you by Malwork. Malwork is your all-in-one physical security team, providing your business on-site video surveillance and online security management services year-round. Malwork's dedicated security directors and comprehensive video surveillance services are provided remotely and in real time, keeping your property and people safe during the tough times of the pandemic, as well as during traditional working hours. Go to malwork.com/pricing to review our world-class and cost-effective security services. All right. Hey, so welcome to our American Security Podcast, episode 4. Yo, this is going to be dope. Actually, you know, we are at our quarterly mark, meaning that, you know, we've done four podcasts. And since we do them, you know, usually either once a month or once every 2 months, for right now, when we get to four, basically we decide that we're going to go ahead and call that our quarterly state of our American Security podcast. So we are now at our quarterly state, the state of our American security, the state of our American security. What exactly is the state of our American security? Which, you know, is a question that can be often painful to review and take a look at to, you know, the folks who really care about the people that we protect and care about the most. And you know, if you don't get mired down into the politics of, you know, what you care about as far as political and what speaks to your, you know, animal nature, I guess, you know, I don't know, man. But if you really care about hardcore humanity and, you know, why you got into the business of policing or intelligence or, you know, specialized soldiering, I mean, there are folks out there, you know, just putting their life on the line. One, because that's the way they're wired. I mean, most people don't really get that, you know. We are wired a certain way. That's why we go for those type of jobs that put our lives in danger and to save other people. I mean, it's the way you are. It's just like, you know, that's just who people happen to be. And, you know, you get to love the rush, the danger, and you get great rewards when you succeed and save people or the world, depending what group we're talking about. This state of our American security is going to be pretty interesting. I mean, I had to split it up in four parts, actually. The first part is only 20 minutes. We unfortunately get into politics of, you know, what's going on. And when I say politics, what I mean is basically we're just taking a hard look at, you know, what's going on in the world as far as intelligence, cyber, and how, from the top down, you know, our intelligence and law enforcement services are affected by what happens at the top, you know. And yeah, you know, we went through the whole dichotomy of a bad cop and all those things like that when we talked about the George Floyd murder and so forth. But you know, we dig a little bit more wide angle on this podcast. And we look at the world itself and what's going on with our government. And so you can't avoid talking about Trump, unfortunately, and if you're talking about what's going on in the intelligence community and what's being done from a national security perspective to thwart the threats that we're facing, the nation state threats that we're facing. And so, you know, this may not be one of the happiest podcast for some folks or some of, you know, they may be just so involved into loving Trump that they don't want to hear this kind of stuff. But the truth of the matter is, you know, it's just straight. I can't say my truth is your truth, but it's definitely honest commentary about what's going on in the world from the national security perspective. So just as an early warning on this episode, it is digging into somebody's ass about what's going on and what needs to be done to be better than what we're doing. Okay, so I will let you listen up. Hope you enjoy. Today on Our American Security, we are having our quarterly State of Our American Security episode. In these episodes, we will talk about all aspects of the current state of, well, not all, but a lot of aspects, the main aspects of our American security in the world. What's going on? We cover law enforcement, national security, cybersecurity, and public safety in general. So we're going to hit a couple, maybe a few, three topics, depends how we get through this. My guest today is a regular to the show. And good friend of mine, his name is Jay Anderson. Jay Anderson is a retired Army Special Forces Chief Warrant Officer. He also has about 20 some years, almost 20 some years, law enforcement background, as a federal police officer and special agent. And he has multiple cybersecurity certifications. So that makes him pretty qualified to be here today. Jay, how are you doing?
Well, like I always say, I'm always good, Bobby, and thank you for having me. And so I look forward to this next podcast.
Thanks, man. So this is like our at-home podcast today. I mean, this is where we just talk about what's going on in the world, man. I mean, you're going to kind of touch on a couple of topics. It might be, we're just going to see how it goes. Could be shorter, could be longer. But we're just going to cover things. Like I said, what we try to do here at Our American Security is give honest commentary, national security, cybersecurity, law enforcement facts as we know them from our experience and what we see in the world. Our goal here at American Security is not to be political if we can help it. But being that the state of affairs today kind of plugs in politics and everything that's sacred in the national security community, it's going to be hard not to be honest, but it's something we need to talk about. But we're going to stick to the facts as much as we can and try to clearly articulate our perspective from our background and experiences. So, all right. So first question today, as setting a background, currently, we seem to have a president that is not a fan or even an avid consumer of the intelligence community. They've been under fire. The intelligence community has been under fire. Basically, what we see is a leadership structure that seems to be reactive and picks and chooses what threats that they feel are real and are not real. I mean, instead of taking the expertise of the intelligence community that gives the that provides the PDB, their presidential daily brief, every day, and now they're here from news reportings that they were presenting it, I guess in picture book or something, so the guy can consume, so the president can consume it. I don't know what they're doing, but I heard it's not standard. And the threats that we are facing nowadays, in my opinion, are more dangerous because we seem to be facing more state actors, more nation state actors, such as Russia and China. And we all know, for some unknown reason, unknown at least officially, that our president has a thing for Russia, meaning that he don't want to hear anything bad about Mr. Putin. It's not good to pick a fight with Russia, but it's also not good to totally deny and hand over the keys to the kingdom to them as well. And that's what seems to be happening from afar. Things that we have to worry about right now in the intelligence community is I have no clue because I'm no longer affiliated with the agency at any time. But basically, some of the better, stronger things we can do, we do covertly, those require presidential finding. And who the hell knows how those are being approved or not approved at this point in time? I just think there's a not just a leadership gap, but a desire to know how things work. So that's a problem as well. So basically the question I have, after saying all that, our national security power seems to be at risk. We are playing a dangerous game of under-resourced defense in a world that is increasingly becoming more offense on the offense from the nation states like Russia and China. And they're you know, in my opinion, from what I've seen, degrading the U.S. From the inside and out. As you know, maybe, I don't know, maybe that's what their job is. I mean, our job is doing what we do and their job is doing what they do. But the problem is, you know, there's no offense. There's no support from what I can tell. And from what I know, honestly. So my question, Jay, to you and to me, cause I'm going to be asking this question. What the heck can our nation do in this time to keep our country safe when we seem to have a major dysfunction of leadership at the top? I mean, what's your opinion about this?
Okay, so where do I start? Well, as far as national security is concerned, I would say listen to the experts. And also for the national crisis for this pandemic is listen to the science. So obviously, you know, one of my biggest concerns is that during this pandemic is that, you know, we are pretty much vulnerable. We're vulnerable as a nation. You know, we're vulnerable, you know, economically speaking. And my fear is that some actor, you know, from whatever country it is, could actually take advantage of that and launch some sort of a attack, you know, maybe not so much as an invasion, but pretty much, you know, cyber attacks while we're kind of at our most vulnerable, because there's still a lot of companies out there that still haven't been able to adjust to the fact that their employees need to work remotely. They're still trying to figure out, you know, how to secure their networks better. And, you know, what better time for, you know, some malicious actor to actually take advantage of that and try to, you know, pretty much shut our country down, particularly when it's coming close to the election.
Exactly. I mean, so, yeah, let's talk about cyber threats. I mean, that's probably going to be, I mean, they're ongoing. I mean, you know, they're ongoing, they're current, they're happening right now. You know, we know that Russia is going to make another attempt, or currently has made an attempt to interfere in our election. Why, you may ask? Because the state that we are, the state that we're in, that we have a cheerleader, technically a cheerleader in the White House for Russia. You know, why would another country want to get rid of that? They don't want to get rid of him. They do not. And so, you know, we are going to be facing probably even more harder, more stifling attacks against us. I know they have a unit raised up in the NCTC the ODNI that's dealing with that right now. You know, hopefully they're doing enough. They're going to be there enough to stop the attacks from coming in. And you're right. I mean, the thing about, you know, I think part of it, there must be, I think there's a cyber detente, really, because, you know, if they do stuff like attack our critical infrastructure, you know, they must know that we could probably do the same to them. You know, lights out over here. But if they attack first, I don't know. You know what I mean? But it, you know, at the same time, you know, I guess, why would they, you know, I mean, cause everybody, I think it's better to keep a weakened America moving and making money than have a America that's, you know, totally shut down from an enemy's perspective. I mean, especially a nation state enemy. Now you're talking about like a terrorist, you know, a terrorist organization. Yeah. That's totally different. They want you done. They want you dead. But a nation state such as Russia or China, you know, they're not looking to destroy us right now. They're looking to bleed us right now, you know, take as much as they can, technology, you know, IP, money, you know, capability, whatever it is, bleed us dry, you know, until they have what they need to be the number one superpower. And you can't even argue, I mean, honestly, arguably, you know, we're not even really a superpower anymore compared to China and Russia. I mean, you know, I don't know how they measure that anymore, but things have degraded to such an extent that if you're talking about riches, you know, I guess we still got them, you know, over, I think we still got them on the rich part, but not by much. You know, I'm worried, you know, I'm worried as an American citizen, as a former law enforcement and intelligence official, that, you know, our country is slowly being degraded to an extent where we won't be able to recover without a major altercation of some sort, a war. And that's going to be, and honestly, if they do their job right, if we end up with another 4 years of this type of leadership at the top, it won't be a war, because we'll be too weakened to do anything from the inside anyway, except for do the worst thing possible. And then that wouldn't happen, I don't think either, because I think we're getting played to a point, man, that unless, I don't know what's gonna happen, because I mean, hey, look, I love Joe Biden. I do. And I just hope he picks a Ambassador Rice type of VP or somebody who has a really strong national security credentials. Because even if Trump gets out, we're gonna need a very strong president. I mean, Biden's gonna be so busy bringing us back from the brink of everything else that Trump has taken away from this country domestically, that dealing with foreign policy, even though that's his strength, is gonna probably be secondary to getting us back up to speed, man. So, I don't know what the answer is, to answer my own question. New leadership, number one, I suppose. I think honestly, man, I think a reality check, to the national security community, a reality check, man. I don't know what's going on. Like I said, I'm not affiliated, but they really need to dig deep and say, hey, look, this is what's going on. Just say the same thing for the governors in the pandemic. They're not getting any national help. They're not getting any national leadership. They were abdicated responsibility to the governor. So from my perspective and everybody else's perspective, he did that so he wouldn't take the responsibility, the brunt. That's their fault. You know what I mean? Let them deal with it, which is the worst possible thing any president could do. Not taking the ball and running with it, because it's what we see as leadership. Is what we feel is leadership, and the thing is, yeah, the governors are the one that's going to be responsible for executing a national plan. But the bottom line is, we need to see that from the top. And if the intelligence agencies are not seeing that kind of leadership that we need, then they're going to take care of themselves from the inside, man. I just think that just means, you can't, not breaking the law, but just basically making sure that they take care of their people, keep morale high, offer incentives the best they can, training, and be proactive in their analysis. The analysis, being that that's what I've done for the last 10 years, analysis. I think analysis, a really good comprehensive analysis, can actually, save the day, and provide a playbook or a roadmap, to more active or kinetic, intelligence opportunities out there. So, what do you think, man?
I think you hit it on the nose, Bob, when you mentioned intelligence, is usually driven upward, but then the people that are at the top actually need to push the information downward by creating some sort of a long-term strategy. And I think this administration has been lacking on, providing that sort of leadership and guidance that we've needed from the start. When dealing with both of these issues, which is national security and the pandemic. I mean, because without some sort of a strategy that's going to be, beneficial to every American in this country, you're kind of leaving it up to individuals, and really, and that's not going to ever work. Then you're leaving it up to governors and individual states. But there has to be an overall strategic plan created to provide that overall guidance so that these governors and leaders of these other states can actually make sound decisions based on the guidance that they were given. I mean, I kind of go back to my years in the military where the commander would actually go around and kind of listen to what information that's coming from the boys on the ground, and then from that, and using his own analysis and analogy that he's obtained, he kind of creates commander's guidance. So he puts the commander's guidance out to all the leadership, much like the president and the administration would push out to all the leadership of the states, and then they would take that commander's guidance and apply it to their in each in individual states or in the military with those particular units, so that they can actually effectively, have some sort of an idea of what it is that they're trying to do, and then they can figure out the best way to do it for their own individual units or countries. So I think that's what we're lacking right now is the leadership. Particularly when you to be a leader, I believe in leading from the front and setting an example, kind of like what parents do with children. You're not going to tell your child that it's really bad, to do drugs, when you've got lines of cocaine sitting right next to you, right? So, it's kind of hypocritical. So I think if you're going to be a leader and you're saying, for example, mask, if you want people to wear masks, then you should wear your mask so everyone can see, okay, our leader's wearing masks, so I need to do the same thing. Just like parents, when you tell your children, when you drive or when you're in a vehicle, you need to wear your seatbelt. So you can't tell someone you need to wear your seatbelt. But I'm not going to wear my seatbelt because my situation is different. It may be different to you, but but in the eyes of those watching, it's very much a hypocritical thing.
Yeah, and the thing is, man, we're to talk about the pandemic because it affects our lives right now. People need leadership, man. People desire leadership. Majority of the people in this country are not disease specialists. They're not people who understand virology and what and how to stop that from happening and how what it takes to keep it contained and all that stuff. But I just never seen such blatant stupidity being followed. It's just like, come on. You guys been around the world. You're a 25, 35, 45, 55, 65-year-old man or woman. You've seen what the world is like. This guy is totally doing these things to protect himself. He's not doing this to protect us. Like this craziness, and honestly, the irony of this is that because he's showing cowardice, okay? Honestly, if he was brave and say, okay, I'm gonna take this on the chest, this is my responsibility, I'm in charge, I am the president, people are looking for me for guidance, even if I don't control every single state, if I show leadership, if I get us through this pandemic, if I am able to lower those numbers to a point that people are starting to live and that I mobilize resources and I mobilize innovation and I mobilize the business industry to start taking care of their people, and so hence by November of this year, because this thing started in March, they will see that I am a leader and I've helped them and I know I can help them. If he was a real leader, Jay, that's what a real leader would do. He wouldn't throw all this panic fire and abdication of duty and responsibility because you know why? He doesn't feel confident that he knows what the hell to do. And so he says, hey, I got to get it reelected. The last thing I need is the pressure of saving your ass, right? That's the point. That's the point of a weak person and a weak leader. A real leader says, hey, I got this. You understand me? I got this, and I'm going to help you, and I'm going to make sure I help everyone involved, and we're going to get through this thing together. Mobilize the Congress. Mobilize for the good of the people, right? Not the good of me. It's about the good of me. And this is like, how can't people, why don't people see so blatantly obvious that this guy is not for them, he's for himself? Come on, this is not about politics, man. This is not about Republican and Democrat and independent. This is about what a person does to help humanity. It's breathtakingly horrible to see this thing. It's like watching a train wreck, man, in slow motion.
I agree.
It's like, what the hell? What are you guys thinking? What is the Congress thinking? What is the Republicans thinking? What are all these people following this lunatic thinking? Okay, that was part one of the state of our American security. I hope you enjoyed that one. More to come. I didn't want to end it on such a volatile note, but hey, I'm emotional about this stuff, man. I'm emotional about our country. I'm emotional about you know, the fact that from an intelligence perspective, it looks like, you know, our president is an asset. So it bothers me. I'm sorry. It freaking bothers me. So part two will continue in about a week. Thank you. Thanks a lot.